It's so good to be with you this morning. Open your Bibles and we will get started. The scripture that we're going to be going from is found in the book of Psalms, and you have it there in your bulletin. And today's message is entitled, Pleasing in His Sight. Pleasing in His Sight. I know that all of us grew up wanting to please our parents and wanting to please people we admire, whether that was a teacher, whether that was someone, a friend, mostly our parents. I think we grew up wanting to please our parents. And today's message is pleasing our Heavenly Father. And so I want us to kind of go in that direction and get our hearts ready for this type of message, pleasing in His sight. And Psalm 19:14, if you're there, is a very short verse, and I'll read it now. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Father, how I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can gather together as a church, as your children. Father, I thank you that you have brought us together once again after months and months of this pandemic to be able to gather together and worship you and to resume activities as a church. Lord, we praise your name. We thank you for providing the health for each one of us to be sitting here this morning. And we want to honor you by being pleasing in your sight. Guide us this morning, Father. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. Pleasing in His sight. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Some of you might have a different word. May my meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You know, most of us, when we think of this verse, we think of, we always read this portion that says, and we focus on the words of my mouth. But very rarely do we think about, well, what about the meditation of my heart? How can that be pleasing in His sight? So here's what I want us to consider this morning. How can I be pleasing in His sight with what I say, with what I do, and with what I think? I want you to think about those three aspects of our life. I want you to look with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And here's where we're going to focus on most of the day. So I want you to go to Daniel, chapter 3. We're going to read the entire chapter in little segments throughout the message. Daniel, chapter 3. Let's see what the Word of God has for us this morning. Do you think that walking confidently in Him, do you think that pleases God? Do you think walking confidently in our life, do you think that pleases God? Walking confidently. How do we do that? How do we walk confidently? Well, let me give you a little bit of context before we go into Daniel chapter 3. A little bit of biblical context so that you know what's going on in the message today. If you remember, Israel has been conquered and captives have been taken to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. And among the Jewish captives are people that we know, that we've studied, that we've heard stories about. Daniel and his three friends. Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, we go back to VBS, don't we? The king places these four individuals in a training program in which they must learn a new language, a new culture, and a new way of life. And they do this in order to be of service to the king and his court. Well, you may also remember how Daniel and his friends, they asked that they be excused from eating the king's food. You remember that? And they say they prefer eating a more healthy choice of food. And at the end of a testing period, they're found to be 10 times healthier and 10 times smarter than their friends. And so as we conclude chapter 2, and this is still as we're going into the message today, as we conclude chapter 2, Daniel has just interpreted a dream in chapter 2, and he's now serving in the king's court, while Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been appointed over the administrative affairs of the province of Babylon. So there we go. We're just getting started into chapter 3. Follow along with me as I read. Daniel chapter 3. Are you there? Daniel chapter 3. Here we go. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. And for those that are in the construction business, 90 feet, 9 feet. And set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image that he had set up. So the satraps and all of the officials, provincial officials, assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do." Verse 5. "As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the cither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." Verse 6. "Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace." Well, now we know the story, don't we? Verse 7. "Therefore, as soon as you hear all of this music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Verse 8. "At this time, some astrologers," some of you might have Chaldeans in your Bible, "some Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of all these instruments and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up." I want to pause right there and go to the first point of our message this morning. How can we walk confidently and be pleasing in his sight? Number one, by fearing him. By fearing him. Let me ask you a question. Do you think these Jewish young men had heard about the Mosaic Law? Yeah, I can see some of y'all smiling and nodding your head. Do you think these young men had been raised on the Ten Commandments? Yes, of course. Exodus 20, verses 3 and 4 says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below." You see, these young men, they knew who their God was. They also knew who the God of King Nebuchadnezzar was. How can I know God and fear God? How can I know God and fear God? Hebrews 4:12 reads like this. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So how can I know God and fear God? Read his word. Read his word. It's alive and it's ready to show you what he wants us to know. I want you to note how the others, the Chaldeans, also noticed. They probably asked themselves, well, how can the king have two standards? One for them and one for us. They didn't like it and they were going to let him know it. You see, the lifestyle of these three young men was an excellent testimony, wasn't it? It was a lifestyle that was very noticeable. How can we be pleasing in his sight? By fearing him as the God and only God in our life. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So here's a question for you and I to consider this morning. Is my Christian lifestyle, is my Christian walk, is my life one that causes others to notice? How can we walk confidently and be pleasing in his sight? By fearing him. By fearing him. Let's continue reading. Verse 13, follow along with me. Verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these young men were brought to the king. And King Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the cither, the lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Notice the question he asked them. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Pretty arrogant question, isn't it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, underline this, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So let's pause once more and ask the question, how can we walk confidently and be pleasing in his sight? Well, we've already learned by fearing him, by knowing him. And point number two is by obeying him. I want you to note how the king asked them, is this true? He wants to know personally. Note how the king also gives them another opportunity to change their mind. The king even tells them what their punishment is going to be in verse 15. If they don't bow down and worship this statue, he tells them what's going to happen. It's very important that we note also that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they know what the consequences are going to be before they give an answer. They already know. It's going to be death by fire. And we know how they respond. They testify to who their God was. So let me ask you a question. How can I show obedience to God? How can I show obedience to God? Let me read for you what it says in Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 6. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 6 says, "Be careful to follow every command that I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and pay, and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him." How can I show obedience to God? Well, we can be obedient at our work. We can follow his commands in our work. With our minds, with our hearts, we can be obedient with the goals that we have in life. We can be obedient with our talents, with our finances. We can even be obedient with our body. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." We show our love for God by obeying his commandments. Their verbal response was an excellent testimony to the king, wasn't it? How can we be pleasing in his sight? By obeying him as the God and only God in our life. So the question I need to ask myself this morning is, am I willingly obeying God today? It's a question that I have to answer personally. How can we walk confidently and be pleasing in his sight? By fearing him and by obeying him. Let's continue reading. Verse 19 of Daniel chapter 3. Let's see what it says. "Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. And he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace." How can we walk confidently and be pleasing in his sight? By fearing him, by obeying him, and finally, by trusting him. I want you to note how the king's attitude changes from merciful to full of rage. I also want you to note how the furnace is made 7 times hotter. That's a detail that I'm still trying to figure out in my own mind. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are tied up and thrown into the fire. But interestingly, and this is important to note, King Nebuchadnezzar, in the power and authority that he had over the entire area of the world, King Nebuchadnezzar is unable to protect the soldiers that are carrying the 3 to the furnace. We know what happens. They die. The soldiers that are issued, he can't even protect them. But God is able to protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of the fire. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder if King Nebuchadnezzar remembered the arrogant question that he had in verse 15. "Well, what God is going to be able to rescue you from my hand?" Remember that arrogant question? I wonder if King Nebuchadnezzar remembered how the 3 young men responded to him in verse 15. "The God we serve will be able to deliver us, and he'll deliver us from your majesty's hand. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Do you think that there was any anxiety going on in the hearts of these three young men as they were being tied up, as they were being carried to the fire? You think there was any anxiety going on in their heart? How can we trust God with all our heart? How do we do that? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." How can we trust God with all our heart? Put God first in your life. Don't depend on yourself. We do that, don't we? We have a tendency to depend on ourselves. I got a degree. I should know how to do this. And we forget God. How can we trust him with all of our heart in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a fire, in the midst of a crisis? Putting God first in our life. Well, we know what happened, don't we? Their verbal response infuriated King Nebuchadnezzar. We know that. And it infuriated him to the point of an immediate punishment and an immediate execution. How can we be pleasing in his sight? By trusting him in the midst of a trial of this life. So the question that you and I need to ask ourselves this morning is, do I fully trust him in every aspect of my life? How can we walk confidently and be pleasing in his sight? By fearing him, by obeying him, and by trusting him. Let's finish the story, though. Let's finish the story. Go back to Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. Let's see what happens in the last six verses. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?' They replied, 'Certainly, your majesty.' He said, 'Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps and all of the advisors and all the officials, they crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them." Verse 28 is a key verse. "Then Nebuchadnezzar said," pay attention who's saying this. Nebuchadnezzar is saying this, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into rubble, for no other god can save in this way." And verse 30 ends up with, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Wow. That's some story, isn't it? That's a beautiful story. Let me ask you some questions here. Have you ever been in a situation in which you knew that your answer, if given incorrectly, would mean certain death? That's a tough question, isn't it? It's hard to put oneself in their shoes, isn't it? It's hard, it's difficult. Very few of us have ever been or ever will be placed in such a situation. Very few of us. Well, I know what's on your mind. I can see it all over your face, Phyllis. You're probably asking yourself, Phyllis, well, Brother Greg, how can we relate to this story? Isn't that what you're thinking about, Phyllis? How can we relate to this story, Brother Greg? Isn't that what you're thinking about, Phyllis? Absolutely. Thank you for asking that question. How many of you have ever had a crisis in your life? Yeah. Well, let me kind of jog your memory a little bit. A crisis in your life. There's a sudden loss of a job after 20 years of employment. Is that a crisis? Yeah. Panic, right? What are you going to do? Abandon God? How about this one? Crisis for your life. A stock market investment suddenly goes sour. Is that a crisis in your life? Yeah, you see your bank account, right? Crisis in your life. Do we abandon God? That's a trial. How about this one? Your entire life, you've been exercising daily, you're eating the right foods, and all of a sudden the doctor gives you information about a potential life-altering disease. Is that a crisis? Lord, how come? Come on. I go to church every week. How about this one? A 25 or 30-year marriage suddenly ends in separation and divorce. Is that a crisis? Kids going one way and family taken care of. That's a crisis. And sometimes we abandon God in the midst of a trial. How about this one? Death of a loved one struck down in the prime of life. Wow. Is that a crisis? Do you abandon God or do you follow God? Do you trust God? Could any one of these crisis situations occur in the life of a Christian like you and I? Could that occur in any one of our lives? Absolutely. You know, some of us have incorrectly made the mistake that because we accept Jesus in our heart as our Savior, that we're going to live the rest of our lives without any problems, no crisis. Wrong. How can we walk confidently and be pleasing in His sight? By fearing Him, by obeying Him, and by trusting Him. The confident manner in which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded to King Nebuchadnezzar reflected the daily confident walk that they had with God, and it was pleasing in His sight. Can we be as valiant as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yes. Can we walk as confidently as they did? Yes. Can we fear Him in our lives and know Him? Yes. Can we obey Him daily in our life? Sure. Can we trust Him in our life? Absolutely, yes. I pray that you will walk confidently with Jesus today. Why? Because by doing so, it's pleasing in His sight. Let me close by reading a chorus from an old hymn. And it reads like this. You'll know it as soon as I read it. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Father, how I thank you once again for this word. I thank you, Father, as it says in Hebrews, that your word is alive. I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit dwells within each one of us, that we might understand the words that you have for each one of us in our stage of life. Father, thank you for convicting us to the point that we come running back to your arms. Father, I pray that this story, this true story from your word, I pray that it would touch us in a way that we might be able to apply it, that we might be able to live our lives where others notice and ask why. In the midst of a trial, Father, may our life, because of your Son, may that light shine and let people know who our God is. Father, I ask that you continue to bless this church. May it be a beacon of light for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Thank you, Father, for loving us. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.